Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Locke.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, alongside my co-host, Trey Lyle, and we are getting closer and closer every day to opening day. We are in the month of March now, which means we're in the month that opening day will happen, that the regular season will start for the 2024 MLB season. It is close. It's getting very close, Trey, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, the weather's getting nice and, you know, daylight savings is this upcoming weekend. So baseball, you know, obviously college baseball has been going on. Spring training games are in full force. And I am, you know, just gaggling over, you know, the Juan Soto stuff. So it's definitely something pretty. Can you hear me? Oh, it looked like it dropped out. All right. Sorry about that. 3, 2. Yeah. Googling over the, or, you know, like drooling over the Juan Soto splits. This, you know, spring training is making me very excited for baseball.
Yeah. I saw your tweet the other day. I forget the exact numbers, but he's just mashing the ball in spring training so far.
Yes. Trey Lyle will pull it up because they're that good.
It's insane what he's doing. I mean, it is spring training, but still, if he translates that into the regular season, the Yankees are in for something good this year.
Very, very true. Yeah. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. And I know the first number was 700. So I have to, you know, sort through all my Jason Kelce and Liz Kitley tweets.
Oh, yeah. Rough week for you as a football fan, seeing your.
And a rough weekend for us as a.
Well, yeah.
Virginia Tech fan.
Virginia Tech fans, yeah.
So, but yeah, Juan Soto just being Juan Soto. I thought it was sooner than I thought. All right, well, never mind. I know one of the splits was 700. He's hitting 700. Like, his batting average is 700.
That's insane, just being able to hit 700. Even in spring training, that's worthy of some high praise. By Juan Soto so far. So, yeah, spring training has been off to a good start. We got college baseball going on, like we've been talking about the past couple of weeks.
Oh, my bad. I messed up. His batting average is now to 583 on base.
Oh,
okay. 643, and his slugging is 1.5, and his OPS is 2.143.
Jeez. But his batting average is only 585, not 700.
Yeah, only.
So.
In 14 plate appearances.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He has 3 homers and 7 RBIs.
That's pretty good. Early candidate for MVP, maybe.
Hey, man, don't get rich. We're getting to picks later.
Okay.
I may do that. I'm not.
Right.
You're trying to tease. You know, that's a little tease.
I
was going to pick a different Yankee, but I might pick this Yankee.
Can't go wrong with either of them. Before we get too deep into what's going on around Major League Baseball this week, a quick college baseball recap around the Commonwealth with 3 of the teams that we like to pay attention to, starting with our Virginia Tech Hokies. They are 8-3 on the season right now. They went 2-1 last weekend against Stony Brook, which is a pretty good weekend. Stony Brook is a good team, underrated team in the college baseball landscape. So a good weekend for Virginia Tech against Stony Brook. They were supposed to play Binghamton in a midweek game this week, but it got canceled due to weather. So they will host Notre Dame this weekend to kick off ACC play. Unfortunate news for the Hokies, though, is first baseman Garrett Michel is out for the season after a collision at first base in last Friday's game left him with a broken wrist. He underwent surgery and he will miss the rest of the 2024 season. It's a big loss for the Hokies. He is a sophomore, and last year in his freshman year, he batted .339 with 11 home runs and a .626 slugging percentage. So far this year, he's batting .400 with 4 home runs and a 1.361 OPS. So a big loss for the Hokies there at first base. We'll have to see how they fill that hole and rebound after losing their starting first baseman.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah. I mean, you summed it up perfectly by like for a team, luckily, you know, they have a really good lineup still. They do have Carson DeMartini. But this is still a big loss for the Hokies, where it's still going to be a team that wanted to be carried by its offense. You're losing one of your best bats. That's just never a good thing.
So a tough loss for the Hokies there at first base. Other teams around the Commonwealth, UVA, they're off to a good start to the season, 12-1. They went 2-1 against UMass last week, and that was their first loss of the season. But then they rebounded, and they beat Penn State and George Washington in midweek games this week. They beat George Washington 26-12, a big win for UVA to improve their record to 12-1. They'll travel to Miami this weekend to open up ACC play. And up in Harrisonburg, JMU, they're up to a 9-3 start on the season. They swept Cornell last weekend, and then they beat VMI in a midweek game, so they're on a four-game win streak, and they'll travel to East Tennessee State this weekend for a three-game series. So that's what's going on with college baseball around the Commonwealth. All those teams got off to pretty good starts to begin the season, and we'll hope that they can keep it up throughout the year.
Yeah, I think they play each other all, and we talked about Liberty playing, you know, they're also going to play Tech and JMU at least. I think they also play Virginia. So you mentioned the VMI game. I think that's like my favorite part about college baseball. Like, you know, obviously basketball, you Tech, UVA every year. We've gotten Tech. I think Virginia, JMU have played a couple times in college basketball, but you rarely see this kind of round robin of Commonwealth teams. I know we touched on it last week, but it's cool to see all these Commonwealth teams still going to play each other this season. And that's something, you know, if you're a fan, like, you know, maybe you're a Tech fan that lives in Lynchburg, for example, well, they're going to play in Lynchburg, or you're a UVA fan in Harrisonburg, they will play each other. So that's something cool to see.
Yeah, it is really cool. Maybe you're a Tech fan in Richmond and you want Tech to come play either VCU or U of R. I'd be happy with either, but
I'd rather play VCU. I think that'd be cool to see Tech in the Diamond.
That would be cool. I would
just
like to see them.
That would be like my childhood ballpark and my like school. So,
yeah, that would be cool. Speaking of the Diamond, great way to segue into our next topic. Big news around spring training this week. The spring breakout is happening coming up soon. It's the first time this has ever happened where MLB teams are sending their top prospects to play spring training games against other teams' top prospects. It'll be a series of 16 games, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to see the future of baseball going on in this spring breakout series.
So you're going to say they're going to have fun, go nuts?
They are going to have fun, go nuts, because the Richmond Flying Squirrels are sending 7 former players to the Giants' spring breakout roster. So it's a really cool event, just from what I've read on this so far, seeing the top prospects come from all these teams and play against each other. It's a way to showcase what baseball fans can look forward to in the future. And we're going to see some big names like Jackson Holliday. He's going to be there playing for the Orioles. We're going to see all of the top prospects for some teams. They're sending their entire, you know, 1 through 10 top prospects. So it's going to be a fun series when this gets started. It's March 14th through 17th. All the rosters have been set. You can find all the rosters on MLB.com, but it's going to be a lot of fun seeing all these guys go against each other. And you know, Jackson Holliday is the guy that we've been talking about a lot recently. Then again, you got guys like Dylan Cruz with the Nationals, Paul Skenes with the Pirates. It's just going to be a lot of fun to see these guys go head to head.
Yeah, it is. I think obviously baseball is reinvested in minor league baseball, you know, with the union deal that was struck, what was it, last year. Obviously that affects more than these prospects. These prospects are probably, most of these prospects are, you know, got a really good bonus through the draft. But I think this is, you know, baseball lacks a very good way at highlighting its stars. Like, college, you know, obviously the NBA does a really good job with college basketball, minus this year when the biggest college basketball star plays women's college basketball. But obviously college football, the stars that are there, like, you don't get that like same feel. I think the first, like, it feels like in my time, like, the first real quote unquote prospect stars were Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg because they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Well, to me, and maybe it's because I've followed college baseball a lot more these last, you know, 6-7 years, but like Paul Skeens, Dylan Cruz, when Jack, you know, what's his last name? Jack, he plays for Florida. Jack, whatever. But mainly, you know, Tommy Tanks, you can throw Tom in Tanks, who's now in LSU. Like, I know the stars more, and this is one way to just highlight their stars, which is shockingly something good baseball is doing. I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. I think this will be fun to watch all these guys go against each other. Looking at, you know, you got to look for the big names that are going to be on all these rosters. Like we mentioned, Skeens, Cruz, Jackson Holliday. Another Giants guy, another Virginia native, Bryce Eldridge, is on the Giants spring breakout roster. He was drafted by the Giants last year as a two-way player out of high school up in Vienna, James Madison High School. He was drafted as a two-way player, but the Giants recently announced that he's going to focus solely on hitting. So a little disappointing because we did talk about him last year a little bit as the American Shohei Ohtani, but he's still a very talented hitter and a very talented player. So to see him on this spring breakout roster is exciting. And just I'm just looking forward to seeing what this holds. You know, it's not something that's never been done before. And so I think that it's going to be really fun to see how it goes when we get all these teams together and get these games going. It should be a good time.
Yes, sir. All right. Are you going back to what was supposed to be talked about next so I'm not confused?
Yeah.
All right. The Sydney Opera House is opening in Las Vegas soon. I mean, the Oakland A's, if, and I'm putting a giant ass if on this, if they get a stadium, it will look, the renderings were released this week, and my first reaction, it looked like the Sydney Opera House. I mean, I'm like, on it. I think it's kind of like, we'll see. Maybe I'm just so like salted by the, you know, franchise and this move that I just don't have faith in them. But yeah, what were your thoughts of the renderings?
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that they wanted it to look like the Sydney Opera House. So I don't know if that was intentional or not. I don't know if that was intentional, but it does definitely resemble the Sydney Opera House. It doesn't look terrible. It's kind of flashy and gaudy, but that's what you expect in Las Vegas. The only thing is that the weird, you know, giant green arch over the field and the scoreboard in right field, it's like, is that going to be lit up green, illuminating the outfield stands all the time? It's just a little odd that's I don't know. I've seen a couple memes. If you've seen the Seinfeld meme with the Kramer with the red light coming in his apartment, and Jerry's like, "What's going on in there?" And this meme version of the meme has a giant green light. He says, "It's the top of the first, Jerry," because it's just that green roof shining light down into the stands. It's just gonna look weird. But I don't hate it. You know, it's not bad looking to me. I think it could be a cool stadium.
My question is, like, that is a big stadium, and they want it on the Strip.
Yeah.
Like, how is that?
That's another thing to think about.
It's a lot of land.
I've also seen a lot of jokes made at the A's expense because, you know, it's a rendering of the stadium. They're showing it in a game situation, so they have a scoreboard up there. It's packed, for one. They also have a scoreboard up there, and it shows Zach Gelof. Gelof is batting, and a lot of A's fans are making jokes. You know, he's their best player right now. They're going to trade him away before they move into the new stadium.
He's also hitting .318 in this.
.318.
They got two players hitting over .300. Yeah, I mean, that's impressive.
Brent Rooker hitting .303. I saw a tweet this week making fun of him for hitting that well, and he actually replied and said, "I'm just trying to enjoy my day off, and I'm catching strays from an artist's rendering of the stadium."
The most sad part about this is they still have Mike Trout on the Los Angeles Angels in this rendering.
I didn't even notice that part.
I just looked at it. If you look close, the Angels are the team they're playing. Fun fact, bottom of the fourth, the A's just scored 3 runs, so they're up 3-0. They're up 6-0. It 6-0 on 8 hits. A's, or the Angels, have 0 runs on 3 hits and 1 error in the bottom of the fourth. Yeah. And guess
That's
what?
That's always like the most unrealistic part of renderings is when teams include the
Rendon
scoreboard.
Is not in the Angels lineup, and Mike Trout is playing DH.
Interesting.
How about that? I don't know why I decided to zoom in on it, but there we go. That's the hard hitting journalism you get here with the Foul Ball Area podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
We just invested more of our time than the money that will probably be invested in the stadium at this rate by the public. All right.
It's not a terrible stadium though. I kind of like it.
It's okay. I mean, it's gonna look. They got a Death Star. Like, they got a Death Star already out there. You know.
Yeah.
I like the Raiders Stadium because it looks like a Death Star and it's the Raiders, and T-Mobile's actually like if it's you know, and T-Mobile Arena, which is kind of you know the, you know where all the fights happen now. That's a really and that's where the future Vegas basketball team, men's basketball team, the NBA team will play. That's a nice arena. So, yeah.
We'll see. I feel like it'll probably not
how much
end
faith
up
do you have in
like
this?
That.
How much faith do you have in this happening?
I think
I'm about like 25%.
They're definitely going to move, I think. I don't think the stadium is going to
look. Are we sure?
I think they are. I think they are. I don't think the stadium is going to look like this. You know, you always see the initial renderings, and then the stadium looks so much different. I remember when the Braves moved, and the first renderings of their new stadium had it looking very futuristic and, you know, these, like, glass outer walls and stuff. And by the time it was built, it's just a traditional baseball stadium. You know, it looks like it's nice. I'm not trying to say it's boring. Like, it's a nice stadium, but it's not the futuristic kind of stadium they envisioned. So I think that you always see this in the beginning, and then by the time the stadium is built, by the time they actually get around to constructing it, it looks a lot different. So I don't think they will see a Sydney Opera House on the Las Vegas Strip hosting baseball games, but I think we will see the A's actually move to Las Vegas.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm still a believer when I see it with everything given all the crap that has happened with this move.
Random thought, when they move, do you think they go by the Las Vegas A's or just the Vegas A's? Because right now you have the Vegas Golden Knights and you have the Las Vegas Raiders. So
Vegas A's sound better.
Yeah. Kind of like just Vegas.
Yeah. Vegas
or
A's.
They pull a throw a solid curveball and go by Nevada.
Nah.
Nah, I think it'll be Vegas. Vegas or
Las
Vegas?
Yeah, Las Vegas is, no offense to the state of Nevada, but I think Las Vegas is bigger.
Yeah, carries more weight. Other news around Major League Baseball, Zach Wheeler gets a big extension from the Philadelphia Phillies, a record-setting contract extension, 3 years, $126 million. The salary, the annual salary of $42 million, is the most lucrative extension in terms of average annual value at $42 million a year. Pretty big extension for Zach Wheeler. He's a good pitcher. I don't know that he's $42 million a year good.
Sorry about that mic blowing on the mic there. Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's done a lot for them. He was a big part of their runs in the postseason the last couple of years. But 42, like, that's Garrett Cole money. That's Scherzer money.
It's literally Scherzer and Verlander money. They got their salaries were around $43 million last year.
Yeah, so I don't see it. I really don't see it, but there's no salary cap, so you can pay whatever you want.
As long as you can pay the taxes, yeah.
So good for Zach Wheeler, man. I wish I got $42 million to do my job, so go right ahead. You
don't
know what?
All.
I can't complain. You can't complain too much about it.
No, you can't.
So if you want to give us $42 million,
we'll take it.
Send us a message on Twitter at TreeLauVT, at Matkins News, at Foulball Area. We will happily take it, and we will do I don't want to say anything, but we'll do a lot of things for $42 million. Just put it that way. That's a good way to end. Leave us that 5-star review. Subscribe wherever you get the podcast, the Foulball Area Podcast. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Foulball Area Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Foulball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.